spend a little while considering those events which are taking place, the coronavirus, all those sorts of things, an ever-growing presence, and we are faced with a major trial. And how is it as believers that we should respond to this? How should we be? And some, it would be fair to say, are still sceptical about what is happening. There is generally also a growing feeling of panic, which we have seen. But I would suggest to you that as believers, we shouldn't be indulging in either of those. We need to face what is happening with a realism and also with wisdom given by a gracious God. We shouldn't dismiss facts, nor should we give in to fear. And as this happens, and at this time, as much as at any other time, we must act like believers. And we must ask confidence in the Lord, and we must respond to the crisis that is emerging, that is real for the people around us, in a way that commends the Lord Jesus. And we should be those who have an unshakable confidence in our God. You know, we read in Romans 8 that God loves us so much that he gave his Son for us, did not spare him, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not freely give us all things? You know, if God has already given us his Son, the Lord Jesus, he will not withhold from us anything else that we need. And we know that he's sovereign. We know that not a sparrow moves or falls to the ground without his knowing. We know that he is in control. George Whitefield once said, "We are immortal until our work on earth is done." As one explains, with that sure hope that comes from knowing that our good and sovereign God has reconciled us to himself through our crucified and risen Saviour, we seek to live humbly and boldly and wisely in this world of sin, death, and viruses. God has our lives in his hand, and no virus will overrule his eternal purpose, including the day that has been appointed for our death. Now, that truth does not mean, therefore, that the believer is to be nonchalant about COVID-19. It is right that we take the precautions that, as the Lord has commanded, we respect those in authority that he himself has placed there. But as we listen and as we take wise advice and take precautions and we use the providential care that God has given and use the medical gifts that God has given, doctors, nurses, hospitals, medicines, we don't put our trust wholly in those things rather than God. In and through every precaution that believers take, we must remind each other to remember our God and Father in heaven. And so that's why we must call out to him. It's why we must trust him. It's why we must hope in him as we take the appropriate measures in all that we're facing at the moment. Now, we've seen, haven't we, that churches in other countries around the world have been prevented from meeting by government command. Churches in this country are facing the question of whether or not to meet in their regular gatherings. Now, all I would say is this, that each church must exercise wisdom in making those decisions before the Lord. And what we need to be very careful of is that no church should stand in judgment on what any church decides about the pressing issues. You know, I am well aware that there are difficult decisions which lay ahead for us. And I am well aware that some of you will not be happy. Some of you may want to criticize, but I hope above all else you will be gracious. Some of you may have very strong views, but you will have the luxury of holding those views and not having to make decisions which directly impact others. And so as your pastor and as church officers, we will always seek to do what is right before the Lord and which is for the good of those who have been entrusted into our care, including those in our fellowship who are most vulnerable. And the same is true also for individual Christians in the same fellowship. You know, each of you may come to different conclusions on these matters. You may come to different positions eventually, and legitimately so. And through it all, what I would say is so important is that as believers in Christ, we should love one another, we should pray for one another, we should bear with one another, and we should encourage each other to remember Jesus Christ. And we need to do all that we can to resist being consumed with fear and to do whatever we do out of our faith in him and with a desire to see God glorified in our lives and in the church. And the seriousness of what we're facing means that as believers, we also have a responsibility to those around us to do what we can to help prevent the spread of this disease, not only for our own sake, but also for the sake of those around us. And I would say this to you, it is an expression of our care and our love for our neighbours to be wise and sensitive to that. As one explains, as fear gives way to more and more panic, God's people must remember to show love to our neighbours, love that is motivated by our supreme love for Him. And we can do this because we ourselves have been loved at such a great cost and in a way that results in being reconciled to our Creator. So when others hoard, we share. When others steal, we give. When others hide, we serve. When others give way to fear, we comfort in the hope of knowing that our God loves us and is for us in Christ. And we should always be prepared to make a defense, give a reason for the hope to anyone who asks us, and we do it with gentleness and respect. You know, there is a great need in our town, even practically. You look at the food banks and things like that. We need to be mindful of that as a church. It's interesting that in our prayer meeting on Wednesday, someone mentioned the plague. And it got me thinking. And in 1527, Martin Luther was asked, as the plague came to Saxony, is it permissible, is it right for people to run away from a deadly plague? And among many wise pieces of practical advice that he gave, it included this admonition to those who came to different decisions about whether to stay or to run away. And this is what he said. He said, we must pray against every form of evil and guard against it to the best of our ability in order not to act contrary to God. If it is God's will that evil come upon us and destroy us, none of our precautions will help us. Everybody must take that to heart. But if he feels bound to remain where death rages in order to serve his neighbour, let him commend himself to God and say, Lord, I am in your hands. You have kept me here. Your will be done. But if a man is free, however, and can escape, let him commend himself and say, Lord God, I am weak, I am running away from evil, and I am doing what I can to protect myself against it. Nevertheless, in your hands, in this danger, there I am, as in any other which might overtake me, your will be done. So in other words, each decision is done as unto the Lord, who ultimately holds all things in his hand. You say, well, that's okay, but what did Luther do? Well, he said this, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbour needs me, however, I will not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolish. And so we need to remember the Lord. And we need to be wise in the way that we handle this. And we need to look to his provision and his protection and the relentless care that he has for his people. And that's why I wanted to remind us again of Psalm 46, this great psalm to remember in difficult days. To remember that God really is our refuge, that he is our strength, that he is our very present help in trouble. And even when we're faced with confusing times, and they are, concerning times and frightening times and intimidating circumstances, the believer can still know courage and peace. And it's only those who truly know God for themselves in and through Jesus Christ that can enter fully into the truths of this psalm. You know, many people have mentioned these words, but it is only the true believer who can enter into them fully. This is a song of the redeemed. This is a declaration of those who are right with God. It's interesting, you know, when you look at the title of the psalm, you see that it's a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now, in Numbers 16, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were dealt with because they rebelled against Moses. And it says that the earth closed upon them and they were consumed. And it is amazing because later in Numbers 26, it says, notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. And so there was a deliverance of sovereign grace. The Lord spared them when others were destroyed. And they became singers in the courts of the Lord. And no doubt when they sung verse 2, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, it had particular resonance for them. Because they'd seen the earth open her mouth and swallow up the offenders of their household while they were preserved by sovereign grace. You know, it reminds us that the circumstances in which a person is saved will always have a bearing on the rest of their life. To be saved of God from the depths and from judgment will bring great thankfulness and praise to the Lord. And having been delivered from that great eternal danger, we're able to trust him to deliver us and be with us in all other dangers too. It also says for Alamoth. And it's likely that this psalm was set for young female voices, daughters of Israel singing to the Lord. And so it's the song of those who are set apart. Speaking of Luther, he delighted to sing this psalm to remember God in the midst of trouble. Let us sing the 46th psalm and let the devil do his worst. And so from the youngest to the oldest, from the weakest to the bravest, each believer needs to remember and remind themselves of the truth here when difficulties come. So what do we remember? What do we remember in the midst of what we're facing? Well, we need to remember in difficult days where our confidence really lies. You know, God's people have a confidence that is beyond themselves because they rest upon the Rock of Ages. And in this song of believers, there's no boasting in their own strength or virtue or bravery. Though the earth is removed and all the rest, their confidence is in the great God of heaven, their refuge and strength, their shelter to uphold them. You know, God is our strength. This psalm begins with God and ends with God. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, we may feel at the moment as timid as can be, but God is our refuge. We may be tonight as bruised reeds, we might be weak, but God is our strength. And we don't know what strength is until our own weakness brings us to trust the omnipotence of God. We never really understand how safe we are in God's hands until every other refuge fails. And when the earth is removed and when the waters of the sea roar and are troubled, what should we do? We hide ourselves in God. Confidence and peace comes to us when we know God, when we look to him, when we appropriate him by faith. What does it say? God is our refuge and strength. When by grace you are able to say, this God is mine. Friends, you will never delight in his goodness and greatness. You will never know that peace until you are trusting in him for yourself through Jesus Christ. And the Lord instructs us to lay hold of him, to take hold of his strength. And this and so much more comes to us only through Jesus Christ, in whom we have been made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You think of those lovely verses in Lamentations 3. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, my portion. Therefore I hope in him. The peace our souls crave will not be ours unless we know the Lord for ourselves, all the fullness of his love. And friends, if only we knew him better, if only we would know more of that peace and confidence which could be found in him. And it's only when we discover more of him through his word and know more of his characteristics and his promises, that's when the Lord really becomes that refuge for us. The source of strength for the trial, our helper in the storm. The more we know the Lord, the more we will perceive that he is full of blessings to us, his people. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. We are saved and secure when we know that simple gospel, that little truth, trust the Lord. But our peace grows and deepens as we go on with him. And as our hearts are fixed and trusting the Lord, we don't need to fear evil tidings. You know, dear believer, if you're timid tonight, you need to seek to get closer to him. And then you'll know his peace. Spurgeon said, "Half our fears are the result of ignorance. Truth as yet unknown would greatly encourage us if we did but perceive it. If we knew more of God, we would be bold as lions." How? Because we have to dwell in his presence and ask him to show us more of his nature and his character and his attributes in the word of God, all his promises and his providence, and for these things to be applied to our minds and hearts by the Holy Spirit. To know him, to experience him, that's life eternal. And this psalm is best sung by men and women who know what they're singing because they have known the preserving and delivering grace of God. And you know, this latest trial, many of you, in your experience and walk with the Lord, many of you can recall those times when you've known God to be your refuge. Times which seemed so bleak and you felt as though you couldn't stand on your own and you ran to the Lord. Did he turn you away? Did he close the access to you? Of course he didn't when you came in Christ. When you've hidden yourself in God, you know, have you not found that rest? When you came apart and you shut your door and you poured yourself out before him, have you not known that wonderful sense of peace? Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." You know, for many of us, many years have passed since we first called on the name of the Lord. And we've been many, many times to him since. But he has never failed us once. And he will not fail us now. But how quickly we are to forget him. And many of you can testify how God has sustained you each day by his grace. And when temptations have come or burdens or responsibilities, you've been enabled to endure. And when you've looked back, you've realized it. It's only the Lord that's kept you. Left yourself, you would have been crushed. But he has held you. And he's brought you through, even though the times may have been dark. And he's led you on. And our trials are all different. No two of us have approved the Lord in exactly the same way, but our testimony remains the same. The Lord is all sufficient, and his strength is perfect. Deuteronomy 33:25, "As your days, so shall your strength be." God is our strength. We need to remember that. And he's also a very present help in trouble. Notice that it says that he will be the very present help for the believer in trouble. The believer isn't exempt from trouble or trials or difficulties. There are some who want to take the word of God and twist and manipulate, and if we just believe hard enough, then we'll miss all these things and trouble will never come. Well, that's not what the scriptures say. But if trouble does come, we can know that God is with us. And people may have failed us, people may have deserted us, even those who didn't intend to, but that is never the case with our God. Isaiah 65, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." You know, as the burden felt as though it would finally crush us, there is the Lord to take us up. And he's not only present, he is very present, more present than our closest friend. You know, maybe there have been times in our walk with the Lord when we've just felt that we were alone, that God was far off. But have we ever found him to be absent in the hour of our trial? He has said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." And wherever else he may be supposed to be absent, he is sure to be present in trouble. And so, believer, don't forget that. He's with you. And we need to remember and not doubt him. That he has helped us all the way and often. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and he won't abandon us now. And when we know that nearness and the graciousness of God, it will be an antidote to our fear. In some of the darkest, most difficult trials, even facing eternity, how is it that the Lord's people are able to display such calm, certainty and confidence and trust and peace? Where did it come from? The Lord was there. The Lord was with them. And they knew his presence, and he strengthened them, and he encouraged them, and he assured them. And he will not leave them, even in the face of death. As one explains, the presence of God with the soul of a believer swallows up death in victory, and anything else that is terrible in time or eternity loses its terror in the presence of the mighty God of Jacob. If he is with us, then we need not fear. And so we remember that God is our strength. We remember that he is present, and remember that when your confidence is wholly in the Lord, you'll grow in courage. You know, when we remember where our confidence is, we are emboldened. The language is strong here, isn't it? It says, we will not fear. You know, the presence of God, it quietens our hearts. Have you ever thought about that? Now, that doesn't take away those natural fears, but he gives us grace and peace as we face them, knowing that he is with us. You think of 2 Corinthians 4, and Paul writes, he says, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And so we can feel surrounded. We can feel the reality of the danger, but God's presence and his nearness gives us courage. It's a wonderful thing when the heart is calmed because we remember that we belong to Jesus Christ. And that peace that he gives is the peace of God, divine peace, which passes all understanding, which the world can neither create or destroy. The courage that the believer knows is not a natural courage. It's not a courage that is summoned up from our own reserves. It is not a courage that is immune to feeling that stoic attitude and maybe the approach, keep calm, carry on, it will all be okay in the end. That's not what we're talking about. The Christian feels a situation, but he is given fresh supplies of love and grace and strength through the work of the indwelling Spirit, and we are lifted up. And God is with us, and he won't leave us, and so we don't need to fear. And if we know God in and through Christ, he is our God, we need not fear, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I wonder if we really believe that. Earthquake, storm, pestilence, coronavirus, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can rest in that tonight. He loves us with an everlasting love, and even though trouble will come, there he will be with us. And though our circumstances may be tough, they cannot change the unchangeable love of God to us. And so as believers, we trust in a God who has arranged all things according to the counsel of his will. Do you believe that anything is left to chance? I hope not. You know, God is sovereign. He knows all things. And with God, there are no contingencies. Nothing can happen but what God ordains. And so we should not fear. And our Heavenly Father works all things. And so should his children be afraid? Do we not believe that God overrules everything? That even which naturally might be called evil is overruled for good? Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall condemn. You know, we know that nothing can happen, however severe, that can shake the kingdom of God. The gates of hell shall not prevail against their kingdom. Therefore, whatever is seemingly endangered, our highest, our best, our most vital interests are safe in Jesus Christ. And even if the Lord was to take us, the worst things for many which they fear right now would in fact be the best for the believer, because we will be forever with the Lord in glory. And this godly courage and fearlessness gives a peaceful courage and wisdom. You know, if a man is able to contain himself and possess his soul in patience through the presence of God, he won't run about doing that which is foolish. You know, we've seen that this week when people, and you know, we can understand it to a measure, when they are dominated by fear, people panic and they do foolish things. Spurgeon says, in trouble, presence of mind is invaluable. And the best way to secure presence of mind is to believe in the presence of God. We can be in all manner of situations where we face fear. And if we rush in, we get absorbed in panicking with no thought of God. We make rash decisions which can make things worse. We need to take a moment to cry out to the Lord and we're given perspective. As one Puritan says, lose your head and you lose the battle. Lose your heart and you've lost all. To him who knows no fear, there is no fear, provided that his forgetfulness of fear arises out of his remembrance of God. You know, there is a peace which comes when we rest in the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're passive or that we're unaware. It means that we're able to see clearly in the midst of panic and distress. And this godly courage and fearlessness keeps us from compromise, disobedience, but it brings glory to God. If you are able, enabled by God, to rise above fear in times of difficulty, people will see a difference in your life. You know, you will honour the Saviour. You know, and people are on edge. You know, I was up in Truro on Thursday and just popped into the shop to get some cat food, actually. Just well, not interested in that, really. But it was a very strange situation. It's edgy. People were stood there looking at empty shelves and they didn't know what to do. They're panicking. They're not thinking clearly. And, you know, we need to be those who are able to set a very different path because God is with us. And if, as believers, we can, by God's grace, get such a sense of God's nearness to us in times of danger and trouble that we remain calm in the right way, we will bring honour to the cause of God and the name of Jesus, because people will say, how can you approach this like that? And we say, well, we're looking to a great God. And such a testimony declares the goodness and grace of God by its spirit and by its acts. It is one thing to sing, God is our refuge and strength. It's very different to live in a manner that testifies that to those around us, that we don't fear even though the earth be removed. And I will say this to you, people need to see that right now. They need to see that there is hope, that there is a different way. And then lastly, remember that when you rest in the Lord, testing will come. Now, I've never been in a major earthquake, I've been in minor ones. But though the earth be removed, it must be terrifying and feeling as though everything is giving way at the same time and the foundations of everything seem to be falling away. And it may well be that the Lord is about to try us in new and ways that we never expected at the beginning of this year. Yet having the Lord to be our refuge and strength and present help, we will not fear. As one says, new trials will bring new grace and prove the value of all promises. And certain trials, they come to us and they are perplexing as well as threatening. You know, it says, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, these great mountains having stood, suddenly the picture is they're uprooted and they're carried into the sea. And the picture is baffling. We can't quite imagine it. Sometimes afflictions are like that. We don't understand why they're happening. We don't understand how they're happening. And the sorrow that besets us that we can't truly understand. But we don't need to fear if God is with us, because the Lord can set the mountains in their place again. Our God is mightier and greater than all mysterious forces, whatever they may be. And also there are trials that come that seem to be utterly unmanageable. Though its waters roar and be troubled. You know, you can't do anything with the sea when it rages. It's vast, it's powerful, it's overwhelming. It's rushing, it's swirling, it consumes. And then, you know, it is a great blessing when we live in a place like this. The very noise of the waters at times is deafening. You know, you cannot hear anything else. The water is everywhere when the deep once begins to break loose. And sometimes troubles come and they seem to be of light nature. They just rush upon us all of a sudden. And they multiply like swelling waves and they drive furiously and they seem to carry all before them. Seems a bit like that at the moment. But even then we don't need to fear. Because if God is with us, he is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Psalm 29:10, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. You know, our Saviour can still the waves with a word. And sometimes we're afraid, dear friends, because we see other believers afraid. Though the mountains shake with its swelling, And this is as though when the sea had taken, roaring and trembling, the mountains followed it and began to shake too. And sometimes when we see those believers that we respect, those that are mature in the faith, the strongest people giving way to panic and all those things, we can begin to yield to that too. And that's why we need to be mindful of one another. Because if God is with us and we can hold firm to the truth that He's our refuge and strength, we don't need to fear, and we can be strong in the Lord and we can strengthen one another in this. Now, what does that mean for me as we go away from this place? Believers are not exempt, not immune to trouble in their lives, and often it comes from unexpected avenues. There is so much, isn't there, in this world that can cause us to fear. And if difficulties at this time should increase, we need to remember the Most High God, who is our refuge and strength. And even with the uncertainties that are ahead, how did we begin this service? The Lord Jehovah reigns. Right will prevail. We can trust Him. And so, dear believer, even tonight, you may be thinking of all the possibilities of what may or may not come, those things which may beset you or not. But in all of them, I would say this, and I don't say it lightly, that with God as your refuge and strength, you don't need to be afraid. If heart and flesh both fail, God will be the strength of your heart and your portion forever. And even if the very worst should begin to touch on our doors, since God is our refuge and strength, we ought not to dread the day. And in that final day, Revelation tells us that all things shall be shaken. All the glories of this earth shall melt away, and there'll be confusion like the first chaos. It will cover all things, and the earth shall rock and reel. The stars shall fall from heaven. But even then, we will not fear, because God will be our very present help. And whether we live or die, we shall be forever with the Lord, and to be where He is to be far away from fear. And there will come a day, dear friends, when the trumpet will sound and the dead will rise, and we will not fear resurrection. There shall be a day of judgment, the judgment of the quick and the dead, but beloved, we will not fear, because we are secure in Jesus Christ. You know, our great concern should be for those who don't know that, who don't know Him, who know nothing of these things that I'm sharing with you this night, and how great their fear and horror is now, but how greater and how more awful it will be on that terrible day when sinners shall see the face of Christ in His glory, and they will entreat then the mountains to fall upon them, the rocks to cover them and to hide them from that dreadful vision. And the face of love is terrible to those who have rejected it. And I pray that if you're here this night and you don't know the Lord, that this thing that is happening now with this virus would make you realize your mortality, and that you would realize that you need to run to the Lord, and that you would by faith take Jesus Christ to be your refuge and your strength, that you would come and shelter in Him, in His perfect life, His death upon the cross, His resurrection, knowing that He can save to the uttermost those who call upon His name. And for you, dear believer, for us together, how we need to remember in the midst of all this where our confidence really is: the great God of heaven and earth. And when we remember the greatness of our God, our refuge and strength, a very present help, then we will be given courage to face what lay ahead. Not our own strength, not our own ingenuity and courage. And even though that courage will be tested, it won't fail, because it's strength from above. It's strength from the Lord, and He won't fail us. He won't fail us in life, He won't fail us in death, and He won't fail us in eternity. So be encouraged tonight. In all that's going on, in all the fear that might grip, we have great confidence in our God. And we can face the future knowing that He holds it all in His hand and always has His best for His people. Be encouraged, dear friends. Amen. Let's sing together 567. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. 567.